All right. Well, Kufar Akbar, everybody, good evening. Hi, this is another edition of The Cross and the Crescent. We are here every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are here on Sundays also at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we're also live casting over here on Blog Talk Radio on the Global Patriot Radio Network, which seems to be an esteemed member. What would you call somebody who makes a list? Somebody who makes a list, a hit list, a hate list, a list of people that has people like Robert Spencer, Bridget Gabriel, Pamela Geller, the Reverend Franklin Graham. Oh, that's that Southern Poverty Law Center list of people who evidently know just a little bit too much about Islam. But that's the Global Patriot Radio Network that we're simulcasting on. Okay, well, I appreciate everybody coming, and I appreciate everybody coming to Sunday's show. I was able to tune into that, not while it was going on, but yesterday I got to listen to it, and I appreciate Chris and the entire crew that came along for that show. And I see we got Rad just popped into the chat there. Rad has been having some problems with his mic. Rad, are you still having problems with your mic? Rad is still having problems with his mic. Rad's going to need to either get on his phone. He's going to need to do something. I don't know what we're going to do about that.
He'll get it together.
Okay. I don't know. It's kind of a scary thing. Because I was monkeying around with the computer about 45 minutes ago, and I mean, I could not connect to the internet. I could not get anything to work. And then when I rebooted, it was like everything was running real slowly. And I was like, oh my gosh, and I gotta do a show here in 30 minutes, and everything all of a sudden just started working, which is, I wouldn't say it's an act of God, but I know. And because I think it's the VPN I use. It depends on where I run that VPN from. I don't know. I'm not a tech savvy guy. I was going to say something about the show on Sunday, where they were doing the perfect preservation of the Quran. And that is always a rich topic. A target-rich topic, come to think about it. And I appreciate you guys taking that up and getting all that information out there that you did. Doing the show for me is kind of like therapy. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I have this passion for the gospel of Christ. And anytime somebody mixes it up and tries to criticize it or provide a criticism of it, and then in that criticism uses false information, outright fabrications, in a lot of cases just downright lies about it, then that gets me going. So in order to combat that, I don't want to say it's aggression, but this desire to defend the gospel of Christ, I have 3.5 hours of therapy a week, and tonight is an hour and a half, and on Sundays I get 2 hours of therapy taking care of that desire. Because when we look at Islam itself, Islam denies the deity of Christ. Islam denies the sacrificial atonement of Christ. Islam denies the crucifixion of Christ. Islam denies everything that Christianity, the foundational principles of Christianity, and how his death on a cross saves us from our sins. It denies that. And then when people try to say that, oh, we love Jesus just as much as you do, we respect Jesus, no, you don't. not the Jesus of the Bible. You don't respect the Jesus of the Bible. You respect the Jesus of the Quran, the one that is nothing more than an excuse for that usurper you call a prophet. And so this is why I enjoy doing these shows, just to bring a factually based polemic against Islam and a factually based apologetic in defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I appreciate everybody that comes here every Tuesday and Sunday to the show. I was just going to put this up there. There we go. Okay, Rad, do you have comms yet? Rad, do you have comms yet? I'm going to unmute you. And you can't unmute your guests because they chose to mute themselves. Okay, well, he chose to mute himself. That's fine. Okay, so what are we going to do tonight? I was considering doing a show on Mecca again, because there are a lot of facts that I wanted to bring up concerning, well, facts. There are no facts that support a Mecca in the 7th century, number one. But number two, I was going to finish that slideshow that I had concerning Mecca and how there really is no support for 7th century Mecca. There is no archaeological support. There's nothing outside of Islamic literature, whether you consider the Hadith, the Sirah, or anything of that nature, that supports a Mecca that exists in the 7th century. There's nothing there. And when I say there's nothing there, I mean there's nothing there. You compare that to what we have as far as, you know, the Bible is concerned, the New Testament, the Old Testament, and how every time somebody digs a hole in the country of Israel, it unturns something that clearly demonstrates that the New Testament and the Old Testament are true. It provides a archaeological proof of that. When I was in Iraq, I went to the palace of Sennacherib, for crying out loud. You guys know who Sennacherib is. He's that king, the Persian king that attacked Israel and lost his entire army. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He had a castle there, right there in, right next to the Mosque of Jonah, as a matter of fact, there in Nineveh, which is modern-day Mosul. So even outside of the Holy Land, when you turn a clod of dirt over, plot of dirt over, you still are finding evidence for the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. The problem with the Quran is that every time you turn something over, nothing turns up. Even in the city of Mecca, they have found nothing. All of that digging they've done in and around the Kaaba, you would think that they would have found something from the 7th century. Not a thing. You would have think that they would have found something surrounding Mecca, predating the 7th century or in the 7th century, since it's supposed to be one of the oldest cities in history. Of course, this is where Adam was and Abraham went.
Center of the universe.
Oh, yes. Don't forget that. God, center of the universe, right there in the middle of a desert where it gets to be 130 degrees. Yeah, that's...
You would think that they would find, you know, remnants of the supposal, all those idolaters that was there before Muhammad,
oh, yes,
you know, released them and brought them to the true God, right?
Not a thing. Not a thing. Not even an inscription on a rock. If you even go around, if you would think that to listen to the youth. No, come on, Rad. You got to figure out a way to get in, brother. Come on. You just sent me a Skype. Wait a second. Can you Skype in? Can he Skype in? Rad, can you Skype in? And then I do that.
Call your phone number.
I could. Well, I can Skype him here on the – Rad, try calling me on Skype, and let's see if that works. Well, hold on a second. If he can't broadcast on the stream, let's see.
Well, but sometimes they can, so.
Yeah. Give me a call on – give me a call on Skype.
On one platform, it may not work on another.
Well, let me try calling him on – well, I'll let him call me. If he wants to call in, he'll call in. If he can't, then – okay, so what was I saying? I was talking about, okay, no evidence whatsoever. And there isn't, and you would think that people were making pilgrimages to the Kaaba for centuries, even in the times of ignorance. You would think that people would have been writing things on stones and rocks, or like if it was supposed to be the center of this trade route. You think that there would be something there? No, there's not a thing there. And I was going to provide some more. We might even get to it. It all depends now that, let's see, you mean you haven't found Danny? You mean they haven't found the bones of elephants? I'll let you try to pretend.
Oh, no, right.
Yeah, okay. Let's see here. And then they found exactly what the Mohammedan. Yeah, okay. Let's see. Okay, so, but what we were going to talk about, what we were going to talk about is, okay, there was a couple comments that were made on a specific show the other day that, and here's why I'm doing this. I've been doing this show for about 4 years, maybe, where we said we believe Muhammad is, what is this, Adam? Muhammad is the one, best, true, absolute, Allah's best man. And, well, okay, if you were from the, well, I don't even say that, the Eastern culture, because even Eastern cultures demand evidence. There's some type of duplicity in the, I don't know, in the logic and its application. It's kind of like, well, it doesn't matter. Okay, let me get back to what I was saying. What was I saying? What was I talking about, Connie? I was just talking about 4 years. I've been doing this show for about 4 years now. And on my Tuesday show, I was playing for the longest time the ACD Hell's Bells intro. And the reason why I would play the ACDC Hell's Bells intro is because according to the Pack of Umar, Christians can't ring their bells for church services. So to make it kind of like stick it in your eye, I'm going to ring the bells whenever I want to. There's not a doggone thing that you can do about it. And make it a little like AC/DC is, let's just face it, they are a little evil. I mean, that's just the way they are. I played, oh yeah. I mean, we still include the bells in the intro. Okay. So you have a little sycophant of the imams that they kind of hang out together, and the people on Facebook for certain things. There's a group that was called the something cyber jihad group that they're both in. But this is what they do. They go in and report people with YouTube channels, people with Facebook shows or whatever, and report it for copyright. How dare you play AC/DC's Hell's Bells for 30 straight seconds without saying anything? So we were kind of getting around that by talking during that time frame. But then they still, I can't remember what they did, but it would come up occasionally with a copyright hit. And, you know, you have to go in and challenge it. And, of course, when you challenge it, it doesn't, you know, you don't get a strike for it because it's a bogus claim. But this is what they do. It's just harassment is all it is. So to prevent that from continuing in the future, I decided because of the talent that we have with Miss Connie here, because Connie is the one that is able to put all of these things into a visual graphic. I don't know how to, you could sit there and run me through a semester of class on how to do something like that, and I would still sit there and not know what I'm doing. She figured it out in about 6 seconds. So I asked her to put together a intro to the show, and we showed it. We've showed this intro several times. Well, for several weeks now, we've been playing that intro. Well, you would not ever guess who that has struck a chord with. Since they cannot report this show for copyright violations now they have to. I hope we can play my PowerPoint. I'm going to play your PowerPoint, Red. I will play your PowerPoint. Yes. Here's Red. I saw your PowerPoint. I want to play. And I also had a couple things that I wanted to say that you address in the PowerPoint. But yes, we're going to play your PowerPoint. Trust me. Okay, so what I was saying? I was saying that, okay, since you can't report the show now for copyright violation on, what was it, the music, because we chose some other pretty funky music. I really like that music. Was that your – did you pick that music out, Connie, or was that one that I'd sent you?
No, I picked it. Well, you sent me the link, and you liked like four of them, and I couldn't stand any of them. So I found one in there. I was like, no, I don't like those.
Right.
I ran with it, and you ended up liking it.
Okay, yeah. I really like that music. It's jazzy. It's not, you know, yep. It's not like you know, piano music when you're, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning at a bar or so. Not that I would know what that sounds like, mind you, but I'm just saying it's not like that. Because I was told I played the Voice of Truth and on the Blog Talk Radio, and just as soon as I started playing it, I got a comment from one of the favorite people that attend there. He's just like, okay, I heard that 2 o'clock in the morning music from a vacant bar, and I had to go. And so I said, okay. So I stopped playing that at the end of the show, but I used to play that. I used to play Jesus Freak at the end of every show too, which they would report also. So here's what has happened. So we get a certain imam not liking the fact that we have a new intro. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about his comments attacking this and attacking you, attacking me, attacking the show, attacking the panelists on the show for, oh, by the way, of all things, not being or being, what was the comment he made? Too white. You notice how white they are over there on that show. You know, okay. Yeah, I know. No. But see, everything has to. I get that, but everything from people of this stripe has to be racially charged, and this is exactly what he does. I mean, the content that we talk about has not, you know, it was about how we are too patriotic and how we're too white and too piss off. Okay, that's what I gotta say. Just take a flying leap on that. You know, if you're gonna call, this is the exact type of person that would call anybody and everybody else that doesn't agree with him some type of name, whether it's a racist, a bigot, or in his case, everybody that doesn't agree with him is an Islamophobe. And we're going to be talking about that today. So what I want to do is I want to open this up with something that he started. We're going to go through this, and we're going to play certain clips here. Okay, so this clip's only a couple seconds long. So let's go ahead and listen to what he has to say here. Uh-oh, can't hear it. Can you guys hear that? Could you hear that, anything he said?
No, sir. Just take it out and make sure you press that.
Okay, let's see. There we go. I did. I thought I did. Okay, let's try. All right, let's try it now.
You want to see propaganda? Watch this.
No, we can hear it.
Okay. Propaganda, watch this. Watch this. Okay. I did bear with him for 2.5 minutes. And so what I did was, I to save everybody the pain of having to watch him fumble around with his comms there, and fast forwarded it to 220. Wait, there we go. Okay, bear with me. There we go. All right, here we go. It's on the bottom, Kenny. Go ahead and put it.
High IQ, right? High IQ.
Okay, here we go. There, it's right there. Yep, where's this play? Okay, check it out, guys. There we go. Oops, sorry.
Have y'all seen enough yet? I'm stopping for a reason.
Okay, the reason why he's stopping is because he's afraid now that somebody is going to report him for copyright violation. This is the way the guy rolls. He's afraid somebody is going to go ahead and give him a taste of his own medicine. I don't do that. I mean, he could play the whole show and I could care less. But this is what they do when you no longer have an argument. This is which these are the type of tactics that they resort to. All right, so let's go back to this.
Now look at this, okay? Now look at this. What do we have here? Okay, Islamophobia propaganda at its finest. Here we go. Thank you. a lot of the people we're seeing in these photos, there were women and children, and it's just some of these are just typical pictures of just Muslims that, based on this music and these messages that we're going to see forth, the whole video is very suggestive in making Muslims appear in a negative light.
I got a question.
How did he get that, and how did he even get that they're all Muslims?
Okay. Well, exactly, because he goes on to lament later on.
I'm the one that made the video. Why doesn't he ask me to get the scoop on it? But no, he's going to throw.
Well, he goes on to lament the fact that we don't know about Muslims who reside in our communities. Now, he must have missed some of those other images where people were holding up signs and you got little kids carrying rockets. Or, you know, he must have missed those. But hold on. Let's cut him a little slack and see what else he has to say here. Hold on.
This is how propaganda works. If a person like this lady can do this on this lower level, she's just an average society. Think about what the media does. Both. Why I wrote this, consider Islam as proof.
Okay, I can't take it.
Right,
yeah.
Propaganda.
Well, that's one of the main topics or themes in that book is that, you know, this everything that we see on the TV about Islam is slanted against Islam. It's never taking any time. And this is a common thread. They never take any type of responsibility for what their co-religionists do, for what their co-religionists say. It's always propaganda. So when he misses the fact that...
The same thing.
Right.
You're saying what the media says. I said, son, I've lived this. You were kidnapped. And still, he couldn't get it. He's got that Islamic block.
Yeah, you're right. It's correct.
Just looking at the media, and I was like, "Oh wow, he's saying what the Facebook Muslims say," you know. And I was like, "Son, I've been talking about this almost all of our lives because it happened to us."
One of the themes that he uses, and he attacks people like you, and we're going to get to that. But one of the themes that he's always constantly making an analogy of is Nazi propaganda and comparing our news media to the Nazi propagandists. Now, when I was in D.C. a couple of years, I went to the Holocaust Museum, and I bought this book right here. This is real propaganda. This book is filled full of Nazi propaganda. Blow my eardrum out on that one. That's chock full of what we could genuinely classify as propaganda. What this video does is just showing you images of what your co-religionists do. Your co-religionists flew two airplanes into two tall buildings in New York City on an afternoon about 20 years ago, or morning. About 20 years ago, they flew an airplane into the Pentagon, and they were going to fly another airplane into either the U.S. Capitol or the White House, we're not sure which, until people figured out what was going on and tried to take control of the airplane. That's what we're showing here, and that's what we do. What we focus on in this video are the fruits of the Quran, the fruits of what your prophet taught. And this is exactly what they do. But he's lamenting the fact that somebody would have the temerity to point it out. I guess you can't report this intro. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. Who knows? All right. Let's flip this back.
They puppetize people against Islam, mold them, shape them, consider Islam as
Gosh, I don't want to listen to that crap. I read that book, and I tell you what, that was like doing penance. I felt like I was in purgatory, for God's sake. Okay, here we go.
Okay, so I need to, okay, let's pick it up. Proud of this. The show everybody else this propaganda and this.
Yes, we are. We're very proud of this intro video. Thank you, Connie. Everybody on here is proud of this video.
What's wrong with that, Kenny?
Well,
we're proud of you doing your videos, and we're proud of our doing our videos. So what's up?
I'll tell you what he's not proud. They can't report the intro video anymore. That's what his problem is. I can't report that. We got to find something else. Let's criticize the video. Oh my God, the video is propaganda. Oh my gosh, we can't do it. All right, let's go back.
What did that sign say? Forget
democracy. No democracy. We want Islam.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the sign says. No democracy. We want just Islam. That's what the sign said. Oh, let's just go on. No, we're not just going to go on. You have people walking down the streets of London, England, walking down the streets of Belgium, walking down the streets of the Netherlands, walking down the streets of France, walking down the streets of the United States, screaming for Sharia. We don't want that here. You ask somebody... Exactly. We do not want something that supersedes our Constitution. We don't want to be told that, oh, you can't criticize Muhammad. That's Islamophobia, don't you know? That's against the law. We don't want to be told that.
Bull.
Yeah.
You know, we have free speech because God gave it to us. That's a God-given gift to open up our mouths and say, you know, I mean, the only thing we're doing is protecting people.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that. We're
going education, Kenny. Hmm. Kenny. Called education.
And he's got one from Mishka University, don't you know?
Yeah, it's unaccredited university, right?
All right, let's get back. Can I go there? All right, let's go back here. All right, he's still upset. Hold on. For some reason? Are you kidding me? Let's just be honest with people here. The reason why we included that video clip, I had to go find it. It took me a while, but I found it. And if you're watching the video clip, what he's doing, Danny Davis, I saw Danny was in the chat. Danny, you still in the chat? And I thought I saw him there somewhere. Anyway, Danny Davis, being the mild-mannered individual that he is actually what caused that reaction. If you saw what he did is that he was being questioned about his academic credentialing. And Danny said, well, I don't believe that you went to – and I thought Danny had heard it the wrong way. I was thinking it was he heard Michigan. That's what I heard, Michigan University. I didn't think it was Mishka University. But anyway, he takes his fist because he's so mad that this guy was like, hey, you didn't go to college. He's like, yes, I did. And that's what he's doing. He loses his screwy little lid. And I believe I am – and I criticized him for it. I didn't criticize. I mocked him for it is what I did. I mean, when you lose your temper when you're doing one of these shows like that, then you have some issues. I mean, to the point where you're going to slam your fist down because of a personal insult. Like, you know, I can understand maybe being upset about, you know, having some, you know, self-righteous or rage over our withdrawal from Afghanistan or having some rage over some people getting killed in a region of the world. But, I mean, a personal insult, really? You're going to get upset, that upset over a personal insult? And then you have the temerity to say, well, I don't, you know, we didn't, what did he say? I'm going to back it up. I shouldn't do this, but I'm just going
to. You know, Danny just asked him for proof that he was going to that university, and that's when he banged his fist to the
desk. Yeah.
Asking proof. Can you prove it? That's all he said.
That's what he did. You're right. That's what he asked.
Who do we see that? Do you see me? They even threw Kenny Bomer. Lo and behold, they really don't like Kenny Bomer over there on the show for some reason.
Okay, for some reason, that's what he said. He says, for some reason, we don't understand that. We don't understand. We can't possibly understand why we don't like Kenny Bomer on this show. despite the fact that he criticizes the show all the time, despite the fact that he put out a Facebook post asking everybody and their brother to boycott the show, despite the fact that Kenny Bomer has threatened me, I don't know how many times, sent me emails saying, we're coming to get you, Catherine. We're going to get you fired from that job. You sound like Marshall Gregory, that internet troll. For some reason, we don't like Kenny Bomer over here. That's why we just go out of our way to pester the poor man. Get a life. Yeah. 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 And it's constantly, hold on, Emmanuel. Yes, dude, come on out.
Hey.
Come on in. If you need the link, let me know. But it's this constant victimhood status is what it is. He wants to play the victim. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is us Muslims. We never do anything wrong to people. You know, I want to put something up here on the screen. We don't do anything wrong to people type thing. You know, it just makes my stomach churn sometimes when I hear this. And you know what? He mentions this. I think when he was going after Connie saying that Islam is murder. Well, where's the murder at? Well, let me show you, Kenny. Here we go. There's been 39,982 terrorist attacks. That's just attacks. That's not the number of people dead, but that's just attacks in the last 20 years. So you want to know where it is? It's right there. Do you need any more evidence? Well, even if you were provided for it, you would just dismiss it anyway. Why? Because it doesn't fit your worldview. Okay. Let's see here. Let's go to this next one. This next one is about 15 seconds. Okay, here we go. Let me put it back up here. Sorry. That's my favorite picture. Oh, by the way. Little all-American patch there. 80-do, super-duper paratrooper. All right.
That's what you did, right?
That's exactly right. My picture. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that. Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Oh.
Rage on all their faces.
Sharia for the Netherlands. Islam will be superior. Islam will dominate the world. Look at that. And we have the temerity to put something like that in our intro, showing how these people.
They should be violence against the people dying because of Islam.
Right.
Little girls.
This. Yeah. It's just sick. Okay, let me keep. What else was I going to put on here? This is okay. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Come on.
Well, you know, you got to throw in some of Biden.
Yep, the ringleader of 9/11.
Oh, Steve looks like... Steve, is that watermelon? Do you put salt on there?
Yeah, he's got, 3,000 or 2,000 subscribers? 2,000? Emmanuel?
Emmanuel. Hi there. How are you?
See, I told you Eric was ticked off.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve, what are you eating there? Is that watermelon? Wow.
I've been stuck on 2,000. You're being consistent. I think you're going to beat me, bro.
So are you guys having like a watermelon eating contest here? Is that what you're doing? Wait, Emmanuel, what are you doing?
I'm enjoying some.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to have a bowl of watermelon too. That's not healthy, dude. I mean, now you got We got to splurge every night. Steve, now, Steve, I've got a question. Do you put salt on that? Do you put salt on your water? You don't put salt on your water, Mon? All right, I'm kicking you to the back room. Hold on a second. How do I do this? Oh, I didn't know that, Steve. Okay, I'm sorry.
You're doing good, Steve. You're doing good. I know that you're bad, but positive, you know.
All right, let's go back to this. Okay, let's go back to this comment about UBL. He has to include UBL or Osama bin Laden in the video. Yes, I do, because a certain Osama bin Laden, inspired by a faith system that includes your co-religionists, has waged terror attacks against the United States and its interests since 1990. You can go to the Khobar Towers attacks. You can go to the embassies in Nigeria and Tanzania, I think it was, those attacks, the USS Cole. You know, I can name all kinds of different attacks, Islamic attacks, attacks conducted in the name of Islam by this joker that you seemingly don't want to, you didn't want us, would you prefer us put a picture of Louis Farrakhan up there, maybe? Or maybe somebody from Hamas? Somebody more acceptable to you? I'll send you the pictures. And oh, by the way, we're getting to it. I think
we have two ex-Muslims here that has come to the love of God, and they're going yes, yes, yes. See, Kenny.
Yeah.
You know, see how loving these men are now? But they don't love evil, okay? We don't love evil, and these men don't love evil. They've turned from that, Kenny, from in their heart and their religion that they were forced under. They're not captives anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I've heard all the propaganda.
Oh, really? Propaganda? No, 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 Emmanuel. There's no propaganda in Islam. Come on.
I've always heard the plan how they want to Islamize America. That's their end goal.
That's it's not going to happen. Okay. Right. Okay. Oh my gosh! That is, you know,
when they get out, we educate them. As they come out, we educate them.
Well, how's the saying goes? Is if you are in your early 20s and you're not a liberal, you don't have a heart, and if you're not a conservative by the time you're mid 30s, you don't have a brain. I think that's how it's worded. I'm willing to be wrong about that. All right, let's go back to this little screed here.
Of course, right? Of course. Ask yourselves before we finish. Just listen.
Yeah, he stopped at the cross in the heart.
Reflect on what we've seen so far. Is Islamophobia real or not?
Much love.
Some people say, like one of the first things I mentioned in Islamophobia is the fact that Islamophobes usually the word Islamophobia is a made up word.
Okay, Islamophobes, okay, hold on a second. Islamophobes will say that the word Islamophobe is a made-up word. Okay, how about, Kenny, we call you a truthophobe. Would you say that that's a made-up word because you deny the truth of so many things, like the crucifixion of Christ? Well, you're a truthophobe. No, better yet, a Christophobe. Are you a Christophobe, Kenny? If I called you a Christophobe, would that make you a Christophobe? I mean, would you accept that type of description of what an it? I promised myself I was going to try to be. I know. You're right. What a pathetic idiot. I mean, when you can't you can't recognize your own hypocrisy and duplicity in your application of this. What? I mean, it's sick. Okay, so let's the one thing I put down here is, okay, compare Islamophobe to other pejoratives used towards other criticizing other religions. Do we have Hindophobes out there? Has anybody ever heard of a Hindophobe? If somebody in chat has ever heard of a Hindophobe, please type that into chat. How about a Christophobe? Anybody? How about a Buddhaphobe? Those big statues, why would they give Buddha a big belly like that? For crying out loud, there's got to be some type of innate hatred towards the Buddha.
Yeah.
Only Islam gets that. It is
propaganda of hatred.
Oh my God, yes. That's spot on.
Islam is the propaganda of hatred.
Okay.
And you know, little girls. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Reciprocation phobia, right? Yeah, and I know Mark Lamont Hill or something like that. Okay, something like that. Yeah, the guy is he is so far out there that they even had to kick him off CNN. I mean, that's how liberal he is. That's when you get kicked. There's got to, you know, because Kenny wants to write this book, you might be an Islamophobe if you might be an idiot if you get kicked off of CNN, you have to be real, it doesn't matter, but I know exactly who you're talking about. Right, yeah, you have to be white, you have to be somebody that doesn't look like me to be a racist. That's basically what they're saying. Okay, let me...
Believe it or not, they're following the liberals in so many ways. Hello. Well, yes, it exactly is.
Okay. What else you got to say, your mom? Self-proclaimed. Oh, can't do that.
With these images.
Oh my gosh.
Perception. Reason she used these images is because this is the perception that we see in the media used to attack and demonize and villainize and dehumanize Muslims.
Okay, so
loves the sound of his own voice.
You've noticed that one too, huh? You know, these images, okay, number one, these images that are in this intro, don't blame Connie for that. Those are my images. When we were putting this together, I asked her, I told her, I said, I have some images that I want to put in there, and here's the genre of these images, and put them in a specific type of order. And we went back and forth over this at least a dozen times on this. So don't blame her. When we think of this intro, this is me. This is this Kaffir here. I'm the guy that did that. This is the same guy that you threatened to destroy. Oh, you've reached that category. My goodness, that's special. We're gonna get you a gold star for that. Way to go! And here's the problem that he has. This is a bullying thing for him, because this is what he does. If you can't control what they have to say, then they has to try to bully him some other way. And this is what this guy has done essentially his entire life. Okay, so when he starts talking about using pictures of Muslims, little kids holding guns, that's propaganda. So, well, my question would be is, who put the guns into the hands of those little kids and taught those little kids to hate? Who did that? Was it this guy, or is this guy just showing a picture of what your religion does, of what your co-religionists do? And oh, by the way, why would you spend so much time concerned about what we do here on this show instead of telling these co-religionists that are doing these type of things, which are, you say, are so dehumanizing? Why don't you tell them to get their act together and say, hey, you can't, that's not Islam. You're not following the true tenets of the Quran. And you know what they'll do to you, Kenny? They will cut your head off, is what they would do, because what you are doing is committing a form of apostasy by telling them that they can't do that. Gosh, it's just, it's sick with this guy. Okay, 16 more seconds. Hold on. There we go. It's all right.
Pictures of Muslims to do it. Why are they using pictures of Muslims? Because obviously you can't take a picture of the religion, so therefore you take a picture of the people who practice the religion and you paint them in ugly lights. What?
Okay, hold on. Well, yeah. Okay, so let's just make sure we get this straight. Okay, you can't take pictures of people. Okay, hold on. Let me make sure we get this argument right. All right, I don't want to misquote him. So you cannot now take pictures or have pictures. Well, I don't even know what the hell he's trying to say, to be honest with you. You can't take pictures of us when we're doing things that are, you know, trying to destroy Western civilization, when we're out there cutting people's heads off. You can't take pictures of that when we're burning people alive, when we're, giving little kids guns and training them in these camps. You can't take pictures of our textbooks, which completely dehumanize Jews and denounce the state of Israel. You can't do any of that, because if you do, you're an Islamophobe, right? Yeah. Okay. Now this.
Don't say nothing. It's like, no, we are gonna say something.
Okay. This next part is actually my favorite part. Hold on. Here we go. This next. What is this? And it's only. Well, I'll play it. Hold on.
And you jazz it up with some roll music.
Woohoo!
And
you fly your there it is. Okay. So. Oh my God!
Man, he does. I'm surprised that the courts haven't pulled him into anger management.
Okay. Yeah. And this is
long
yeah.
Ago,
okay.
Nest full of anger.
Well, Connie asked me right before the show why I didn't have my Israeli flag up tonight, and I forgot is what I did. There's been no coercion here. Just to make sure that there. Because, you know, people are going to ask, oh, you took down your Israeli flag. We got you to take it down, you kaffir. But, and now what we're doing is we are classifying Muslims as the Antichrist. Now, I would never call a Muslim Antichrist. I would call the Quran, Islam, Antichrist. And because if you read Quran... But if you look at 4:157, it denies the crucifixion.
Yes.
So if you're denying the crucifixion, hold on. Let's just take a look at what Paul had to say about that. Just so there's no misunderstanding here. They hate Paul. Do they hate? Oh my gosh, do they hate Paul? And I can see why. Okay, so if we look at the book of Galatians, let's go over here to the book of Galatians. I'm sorry for – made this comment the other day that I hate dead air. I do hate dead air, especially if you're doing radio. When you're doing something like this, it's not so bad. But, okay, let's start in verse 6. I'm astonished you were so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are following a different – look at that word, gospel. Let me make that bigger so everybody can see that. You are following a different gospel. Now, pray tell, what is the gospel? Well – let's see here. And here's, would you stop? Okay. That they're, okay. you're following a different gospel. Not there are really is another gospel, but there are some who are disturbing you and wanting you to distort the gospel of Christ. Now listen to what he says here. He says that even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary to the one that we preached to you, let him be condemned to hell. Now think about just for a second. If you're preaching a different gospel, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? That he died for your sins on a cross. That is the gospel message. And if somebody's preaching a different gospel, what does Paul say is to happen to those people right there? Some versions say accursed. This one says condemned. What version is this? Anathema. Yeah, this is the Net Bible, and I like it because I like Dan Wallace. I'll just be perfectly honest with you. He's one of the main editors there. Okay.
Yeah,
somebody that is convincing people to deny the gospel. I mean, wouldn't that be just like Satan to say, oh, yeah, we believe in Jesus. We love Jesus, too. We believe he was virgin born. We believe he can made miracles. We believe all of these things of Jesus, except for that one thing that saves your soul from hell. We don't believe that one now. And that is exactly what Satan would do. I mean, look in the garden. Look at the Garden of Eden. Yea, has God said. Did Jesus really die on a cross? Yeah, really? Yeah. Did he really claim to be?
He's going to die and be buried, and the third day he's going to rise again.
Yes, he did, as a matter of fact. He even predicted it for Pete's sake. Oh, no. We can't have that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's...
Said it. Satan's doing the same thing. Yea, hath God said.
Exactly. And then when you get, okay, I'm not even going to go there. And then you go to 1 Corinthians. I wanted to do this one. I'm sorry. First, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to my favorite chapter. You never guess what it is. Okay, maybe you won't ever guess what it is. Is 15. And the reason why I love Corinthians 15. Okay, the reason why I'm having problems doing this is because I made the font big so people could read it on the screen, and I forgot the fact that I can't read it on my screen when I tried to do it here. Okay, so what I passed unto you is of first importance, what I also received. What did he also receive? He received the gospel message from the apostles. We know that from the book of Galatians. You go to chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, and you'll find what gospel message he received. He received it directly from the apostles, Peter and John and James. Well, not James. He received it from James, brother Christ. And what is that gospel? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised. When? On the third day, according to the scriptures. And then he appeared... Peter, the 12, and then he appeared to what? More than 500 people at one time. You want their addresses? Here. They're still alive. Then he appeared to James. Now think about that. James was not a follower of Christ while he was alive. James was the brother of Christ. Who in their right mind would say that their brother was the Messiah? Anybody that you know of? I mean, I know my brother would definitely throw me under the bus. He goes, oh, no, I know all the crap you did, gunfighter. And then to all the apostles. And then, okay, so the reason why I like this is because this was written down. This was a common church creed within a year of the cross. Even your most liberal scholars today are dating this creed. What's that, Steve? Bart Ehrman agrees with me? That's troubling. Right, yeah, and I've heard that he's actually endorsed this, and this narrative that he wrote in one of his books that deals with how the gospel evolved into making Christ, or not the gospel, but the church, the church traditions eventually evolved into making Christ deity. He's backed off on that claim now, is what he's done. Because if you look at the writings of the Gospels and those first contemporaneous early church fathers, you can't get past it. So even Bart Ehrman has backed off of this.
He said that in his book as I finally thought and thought and paused and finally went, okay, I do see it in all the Gospels. They are saying that Jesus is deity. He is divine. That's in one of his books.
Yeah.
He says that.
Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah. Eventually, he might get there. Let's just keep praying for him. The other thing I was going to bring up about the 1 Corinthians 15 was that this was used when Kenny was on one of our shows a while back as a form of refuting the crucifixion of Jesus. And he goes to, he completely bypasses the first 12 verses of the chapter. And he said something about, we also hear about, let's see, the dead initially raised him, indeed or not raised, that there's people that did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And he says right there, you see, there's people that disbelieved early, completely ignoring the fact that it deals with the resurrection. It has nothing to do with the crucifixion. They saw the crucifixion. They saw that he died. And that's what we were talking about. But he tried to use this. This is how dishonest the imam is. All right. So let's go ahead and do some more damage here, shall we? Yes, we shall. Okay. Now, this is something Rad wanted me to address. Let's see. What are we on here? We are on 227. All right. Listen to what
and then when people speak up and say, you know what, you're Islam for, what they're saying is are flashpoints for controversy and division in groups.
Okay, so here he's saying that he's lamenting the fact that we would dare to say that Muhammad was a pedophile, because that's offensive.
Don't dare say we can marry and have sex with little girls. That's offensive.
Right, that's, yeah. And notice he what he does. Right, yeah. Okay, let me see what, because he says, what did he say? Hold on, I got it here someplace that we can't say that. Maybe, hold on. I just can't believe he said this. I can't.
You know, Allah says that the Quran was sent down to us also, to us Jews and Christians. And they've taken it over and claimed it's all theirs. No, apparently Allah gave it to us too. So we can say it and we can go, whoa, wait a minute, that's wrong. Whoa, wait a minute, this is wrong. Whoa, where's this proof? Whoa, what about this insult?
Okay.
Oh, that's insult. That's bearing false witness.
We can't say. Okay. Now, hold on a second. Let me before I get there. Let's just. Okay. What is a pedophile? Let's just ask. I mean, somebody provide. Don't go to Google or anything. Just what would you think a pedophile is? What would that be?
A guy who has a immoral attraction towards little children.
Okay. All right. So having an unnatural attraction, an adult male who has an unnatural attraction to little children. Okay. I think that would be a good definition of what a pedophile is. So if a man, just so I understand this, so we make sure we have this correct. If a man is 54 years old and marries and consummates that marriage to a girl who's 9 years old and is prepubescent, that man. What? No. Hey, what? Wait a minute. It makes him a prophet, according to this guy. I'm just. Does it not? I mean, do you see the lunacy? Okay. I just received a message from
Jeremiah like that and Daniel. Were they all pedophiles?
I just.
Going to come back and be a pedophile too?
Okay. How do I do this?
Prophet,
okay.
Right?
Hold on.
Going to get married. Going to marry a 9-year-old so he can follow the prophet? Wow, man.
Okay,
wow.
You're hurting my head. Hold on. Because Red's blowing up my... No, okay, hold on. Can you guys see that? Is that on the screen or no? That's not on the screen. Let's go here. Okay, Rad had the response, and this was in it. The Bloody Mary... Dude, you need some help, man. I mean, okay, that's... That is just, that's just sad. Okay, let's go back to this. All right, come back to, okay, the dumbest things. Muslim defends Connie. Kenny calls Lumber a pervert. Kind of financial. Okay, here, this was, he was actually going to present this tonight. Okay. Stalking his clubhouse. Okay, now, what, Connie, can you explain this? Where?
What's that?
He's... Okay, look on the screen. It says, Kenny and other Muslims say in this video that Connie was stalking him and Charles in Clubhouse. Now, for you guys that don't know, Clubhouse is a new app. I don't know. I just can't figure these things out. It says that when he was talking to her, it was a pleasant conversation and telling, okay, so what is the crew? What is this here? Let's see. I'm not going to go to the source.
And actually, he was stalking me, and whenever they would bring me on mic and let me talk, you know, like they were saying, does anybody have, you know, something, maybe even opposition to say? And I said, doesn't that say this in the Hadith? And then he jumped on and said, let me tell you, this Ali is Connie, and, you know, she's posing to pretend the other day as a Muslim, which I did not, and yada, yada, yada. But I got a Christian guy and said, look, can you kind of, you know, beware of this guy because he's hounding me. Every time I get on, you know, he's wanting to accuse me. And he did. He got on, Charles got on, and he wanted to, because the guy let me talk. Hey, Ali, we want to hear what you have to say. So I started talking, and then he just jumped in. Hey, everybody, I want to warn you of this Ali. And he just immediately knocked him off.
Okay. All right, so this is the...
Charles was hounding me, so what they accuse, this is what they're doing.
All right, well, Charles needs some type of help himself. And I, you know, I... Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey! Hey, dude! How are you?
What's up, guys? Sorry about being a little late today. I had to work a little later, and then my daughter and my wife wanted to go out for supper, so I took them out for supper.
Whoa, what it was, no, stop. You took your wife and daughter out for supper before coming to the show?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, I'm cool. Go ahead. Just want to make sure we clarified that.
Just want to get that out there. Okay. And Connie, next time they try to say something like this to you,
yes, sir,
just look at Kenny and say, the last time you called Christian Prince, you denied yourself being Kenny.
Remember that. I don't know Kenny. That's funny.
So he's actually, what Kenny's actually doing is he's saying that Connie's doing this, but this is something that Kenny's done in the past. So he's accusing Connie of doing what she has actually done. So if it's a bad thing that he's accusing Connie of, then he better condemn himself for the very same thing.
Exactly, being dishonest and representing yourself, yeah, exactly. And I'm sure they didn't use, when they called the school board and made those complaints, they didn't use their real names. I'm almost sure of that, but I can't prove it. So I withdraw that assertion, but I'm still pretty sure. Anyway, based on what I know about this guy. All right, let's play this clip that Rad wanted us to watch. And let's see here. There we go.
For the teenage part, they got eyes up with the little 9-year-old girl. You seem to be so pissed about. And we're just all the little 9-year-old girls. I don't know about you, Connie, but let's be honest with you. I'm a 50-year-old man, and I've seen women that are far more attractive than 9-year-old girls, and far more developed. And I don't mean to be, you know. I'm just trying to put these in perspective, right? You know, a 9-year-old girl, okay, versus a woman. Men like women, Connie, I'm sure. I mean, there's perverts out there, but usually those people have their lack of performance or impotence, you know, being impotent or things of that nature. So those people who have issues, but that has nothing to do with Islam.
Okay, go ahead, guys. I knew you guys were going to eat that one alive. No, he didn't. Well, yeah, he did say that.
Kenny Bomber, whatever you want to call him, just said Muhammad was disgusting. He just said that. He's not even a Muslim anymore. And I would not want to pay for Kenny's ticket to go over to Afghanistan right now.
Okay, let's see here. Adam put in the chat, man, I need this clip. Okay, we'll make sure you get it, Adam. Okay, now listen, look what he puts here. Okay, Rad lines this up. I had the, believe it or not, I had everything written out today, but Rad lines it up because he wanted to put it on the PowerPoint. And if you ever get your mic together, buddy, let me know. All right, here's what Rad said. So he referenced Quran 65:4. Now this is where you have the periods of divorce periods for women. Now if you have divorce periods for women, it says that it has to be 3 months from their last menstruation. But notice it also says those who have not menstruated. Now it's the same, right? Okay. Well, you could be okay. Who have not menstruated. That doesn't mean they've already reached menopause. That means that they've never – that means they're prepubescent. And, if there's any type of confusion on this, Ibn Kathir – so, Kenny, do you have more authority than Ibn Kathir on this? I don't think so. The same for young who have not reached the years of menstruation. Are you kidding me? Yes. No, he's not kidding you. Ibn Kathir is absolutely dead serious. And Ibn Kathir obviously thinks that you're a joke. What about, who is this? Oh, I forgot about the young and old pregnant. Oh, yeah, and this is the more obvious sexual view is reporting from Ibn Khattab that said, oh, Allah's Messenger, some women are not mentioned in the Quran, the young, the old, and the pregnant, I'll exalt. Okay, so it's right there. Then, okay, now if we go over here to the Sharia, whether the husband and the wife are prepubescent, have reached pubescent, why would it have something there for, girls, for divorcing girls who are prepubescent if it wasn't permissible to marry girls who are prepubescent? And notice when you are encountering girls who are prepubescent, you're in marrying them. What do you do when you get married? Well, you consummate that marriage. And then over here, more of reliance. Okay, more of reliance of the travelers. More in your Sharia.
Not a man. Kenny said men like women, Connie. So he just claimed that Muhammad is not a man.
Okay, we're gonna go through. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
women. So he's always putting.
Hold on a second. You're on to something. Look what you just figured, Connie, stop. Look what you just figured out. Okay, so now we've had all of the. No. It's not funny. Don't laugh at this. We have all these categories now of the men who are not men, you have to call them she's, and girls who think that they're he's, you have to call them he's. But what do you call somebody that is a man who wants to be a man, but in order to be a man, you don't do those manly things, such as have a desire for a woman, but you have what Kenny's – okay, this is Kenny's – for a girl, for a 9-year-old girl. So what do we call somebody like that? Well, you call him a pedophile. That's right. All right, never mind. I'm confused. How about we call him sick and perverted? How about we do that? Well, let's just make sure that we get that out, because if you don't call him sick and perverted, then right, well, think about that. If you don't call them sick and perverted, then this becomes something. This is exactly why he does what he does, because when we start pointing out that this one thing is kind of like the line in the sand for me. This is the one main reason why I would – well, there's a number of them, but this is one main reason why I would never be a Muslim. I would never respect anybody that ever did anything like that, ever in their life. And I can I can't understand even doing it once to a little girl. I can't even get there. There's no way I can get there. But he didn't do it just once. Think about this, folks. He married this girl, and he terrorized her for her entire life, from the time that she was 9 years old to the time that he died when she was, what, 18? And then look at the curse that he brings on her.
You can't marry.
Exactly. You can't ever nobody can ever marry one of Muhammad's wives. Who in the – what kind of sick – Golly, that's sick. All right.
That's amazing. Did they all obey that? I mean, I think it's a myth. I think the whole thing's...
Well, you look at the Hadith. The Hadith are written down, 250 years later, hundreds of miles from where they actually or supposedly have. I mean, I don't believe the Hadith any further than you could throw them. The problem is that they do. That's the problem. All right, let's see what else Rad had here, because if I don't... if I don't play Rad's slideshow, he's going to be calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Who is this? I hear a distinct accent. Are you from New Jersey or something? Hi, Adam. How are you, brother? Who is this guy? Is this guy a contemporary writer, or this somebody that contemporaneous with Muhammad?
No, he died in 587.
Okay.
Hijri.
Okay, so well, 1300.
At the time of Al-Taymiyyah and Ibn Kathir and something
okay.
like that.
Alrighty.
So let me go to which one did I share? This one. Okay. Yeah. So let me go to the homepage to show you what it is, so that you guys all know. Talif is Abu Bakr, Alama Abu Bakr Alauddin Al-Qasani. Mutawaffi means he died in 587. And he is talking about the Wazawzai fi tartibu shara. According to shara, what are the problem and the masail of the shara? This is the translation of it. It's not Arabic. It is in Urdu. I have the Arabic. If anybody wants it, I can give you the Arabic as well. And there, in page number 39, it talks about the masail, the problems. What are the problems? جب ایک آدمی کسی صغیرہ سے نکاح کرے اور اس صغیرہ کو اس کی بنسبی یا رضائی ماں اپنا دودھ پلا دے. When a person marries a baby girl and his mother gives milk to that baby girl that the person is in nikah with will become haram on it, because now it will become his sister, because his mother has given milk to that guy. To that baby wife. Now they became sister. Same is the case if a person marries two baby girls and some other woman comes and gives milk to both of them, one after another, then both of these baby girls will become haram on that guy, because these both girls will become sisters of each other. And according to Islam, you cannot marry both sisters at the same time. Hence, these will become haram. This is page number 39 of this book, defining the shara, the fiqh of Islam, about which one you can actually have. Okay, now let's check this out. Giving a bigger elder wife his milk to the infant wife. When an when a person marries a infant girl and his elder wife will give milk to the little wife, then both of these wives, the elder and the baby wife, will become haram on him, because now they both became mother and daughter, and you cannot marry mother and daughter at the same time. This is page number 40. Let's go to page number 41, and I will show you. جہاں تک چھوٹی کے مہر کا تعلق ہے تو علماء کے نزدیک اس کو نصف مہر دینا خاوند کے لیے لازم ہے. According to the مہر, if you divorce a woman, the infant child has a مہر half of the old wife مہر. Half of the old wife مہر. Then he says, یہ سبب تھا کہ اس کا دودھ پیتا ہے, کیونکہ اس کا دودھ پیٹ کے اندر داخل ہو جائے گا, گوشت کو اگائے گا اور ہڈیوں کو پھیلائے گا. He is saying, according to Imam Malik, the milking of the small wife, the wife has to be so small that she is growing her muscles and bones by the milk, unless, so means like she's so small that she's not eating or drinking anything else and she's living on the milk. صرف یہ چیز بات ہے کہ چھوٹی کے منہ میں پستان ڈال کے اس کے لیے دودھ پینا ممکن بنا دیا ہے. بیسیکلی دیٹ از وائی ہی سیئنگ دیٹ پستان مینز دا بریسٹ. سو دی ایلڈر وائف ہیز پشڈ ہر بریسٹ انٹو دا ماؤتھ آف دی سمالر وائف اینڈ میڈ ہر اے وائف اینڈ ڈاٹر. It also says here, فساد کی نیت کی صورت میں خاوند سخیرہ کو دیے گئے نصف مہر کے واسطے بری سے رجوع کر سکتا ہے. اگر اس کا فیل نیت کی خرابی کی وجہ سے نہ تھا تو اس سے رجوع نہیں کر سکتا. سو بیسیکلی اٹ از پاسبلٹی ہی از سیئنگ دیٹ دا ایلڈر وائف از گیونگ دا ملک ٹو دا ینگر وائف بیکاز شی از جیلس اینڈ شی وانٹس ٹو ڈو دیٹ بیکاز شی وانٹس ٹو کریٹ فساد کرپشن سو دیٹ ہی ول لیٹ گو دا ینگر وائف. So if this is the case, then he can only divorce the elder wife and keep the younger wife, and etc., etc. This is according to Imam Shafi as well, and Abu Hanifa, and Imam Abu Yusuf, and Imam Muhammad. So, دونوں کی صورتوں میں نیت کے فساد اور عزم فساد میں بڑی کی طرف رجوع کیا جا سکتا ہے, یہی رائے امام ظفر کے مطابق اور امام شافی کے مطابق ہے. So this is how they describe how you can marry somebody who is still milking and living under the milk. And this is what they are talking, this guy, this alim, Imam Abu Bakr Alauddin Al-Qasani, is referring to the best scholars, which are according to the four scholars, the school of thought, Imam Malik, Imam Hanbal, Imam Shafi, and all of these, Imam Abu Hanifa. He's not saying things of his own. He's a scholar. Do I need to say anything more to him?
And they can be immoral with them too, right? They can fondle them. They can thigh them with their penis, right?
Yes, yes. Because,
and they can sodomize them, right?
Because it says la zara. So as long as you are not giving them any zara, physically, you are not destroying them physically. La zara. So basically, if I beat you and make the blood come out of you, then I am giving you a zara. So because you are not giving them a zara, not physically paining you, sorry, give me the word, guys. You guys are all English people. Physically...
What, assaulting them? Physically... sodomizing them. If you don't sodomize.
So as long as I'm not rupturing and tearing off the private part, la zara, I can do anything else. I can tie, I can finger, I can do everything else, but I cannot penetrate unless she is able to take my penetration.
Oh, and like an infant can take this penetration. Oh, that's great.
Exactly. Damage. Right. Thank you, Khalid.
Gedalia, yeah.
Gedalia, thank you so very much. Unless I damage them, I can do that. So it can be in 5 years of age. It can be in 6 years of age. It can be in 7 years of age. It can be of 9 years of age,
wow.
Depending on how
you hear that, Kenny?
The woman grew up a little. And I have all the evidences. Kenny Boomer, whenever you want, you can come to me, baby. And thank you for calling us from it. A perverted person. I love you for that.
I wonder if he would use... Would he use his real name, though, if he came to your show, Adam? That's what I would wonder if you... This isn't Kenny. Okay, and, you know, when you point this out, I mean, this is how sick this is, because, you know, Adam, you get down in the weeds on all of this, and you start citing how the jurisprudence is developed based on what we find in the Quran, what we've cited tonight, as far as her age, but also the hadith. And Rad wanted me to point out these two hadiths. Let's see here. One's from Sunan Abu Dawood, and the other one is from Al-Nasi. Let me put these up on the screen. Oops, wrong one. Sorry. There we go. Add to stream. There we go. All right. So if you look at these, this one, Al-Nasi says, the Messenger of Allah married me when I was 7 years old, and he consummated the marriage with me when I was 9 years old. Now, in one of these clips, he actually has the temerity to say that, well, we really don't know. There's some disagreement on her age. Who disagrees with her age? For Pete's sake, it says it in your most sahih. It's sahih, for crying out loud. And then down here, it says that Messenger married me when I was seven and said, or six, and he had intercourse with me when I was nine years old. And then you go to Sunan Ibn Majah, married me when I was nine, or married me when I was six, and then he had me over with him, and I was 9 years old. And so the bottom line is when we look at these ahadith, and I have them written down here. Let's see here. Bukhari and Sahih Muslim both have hadiths that clearly demonstrate, that clearly show that she was 9 years old. The reason why you can't have this, why it has to be, okay, Rad, okay, which one Rad sent me? But the reason why you have to have some disagreement, or why there has to be some type of misunderstanding of the age, is because we all know intuitively, and I've said this continuously on the show, we know intuitively that for a man that old to do that to a girl that old is perverted, is sick, is indeed pedophilia. And somebody like that today should not be celebrated. And this is why I get so angry with people when they try to justify this. Because, you know, they say, well, this was from a different time. He did this back when girls matured faster. Yeah, the bull, that's BS. Right, it's exactly. And the problem is that this guy is supposed to be an example of for a pattern of conduct from all time. So when I will... Rad, give me a second. Rad, send me another. The reason why I get so angry about this is because people will follow this guy, say that this is his sunnah. This is the example he set for all time. And when Connie gets on here and says that, okay, when people try to follow this sunnah, they're injuring little girls to the point where it kills them because they have these internal injuries from these men that think that, oh, it's okay because the prophet did it. Oh my God!
I just want to add one thing, Brother Eric. You know the frustration where Eric is just, I mean, not just Eric, Kenny, you know, he's acting like why they're talking about Islam. See, they go back to the mindset that nobody cannot talk about Islam. They have this persona, and I've seen that from my dad and relatives. They got that mindset that I am always right, no matter what, you're wrong. That's their mentality that they're carrying with. And it's to the point that nobody, even if it sounds logical, it has to be ignored.
Did you carry that when you were a Muslim too, Emmanuel?
Yes. I mean, I remember being my sister, running over that, telling the stories. Yeah, you know, your grandmother was married at 13 years old. It's normal. It's okay. And, you know, even as kids, we were convicted. I'm like, wait a minute, that's disgusting.
You're right. And when I would, yeah, you're exactly right. Because when I was teaching, when you would, when you bring that up, when I was a teacher, and you would bring, and you would mention the fact, and I know, here we go. Oh, you see, I told you, you taught this in your classroom, Kaffer. No, when it's brought up in the class that he was 54 and she was 9, when you start talking about the idea of Islam, even kids 13 years old have that ick factor coming into that. They know intuitively. Okay, Adam, I'm going to get unfriended by Robert if I do not play this last thing. And Radical Moderate. Okay, I'll come right back to you. Hold on. Let me do his conclusion because he wanted me to do this. All right. Let me go back here. Okay. So the evidence that he provided us here says that the Quran clearly states that those who have not menstruated, meaning those who are prepubescent, even Kathir references that they were too young to menstruate. These are girls that you can marry and have relations with. And then you look at the ayah revealed because Allah was what was that? Okay, and then the Shafi school of Sharia says that the waiting period for divorce after having intercourse is 3 months for prepubescent girls. I don't know about the boys. I don't know what that means. I don't want to know what that means. And then a hadith narrated by Aisha say that she was 6 when she and 9 when he had sex with her. And to me, that's the bottom line right there. And then Kenny has temerity to say that only perverted men are attracted to 9-year-old girls. Men like him are attracted to women. And that's exactly our point. That's exactly Rad's point there. Thank you, Rad, for doing that. Is the point is that to have those physical attractions, whether it's a physical or psychological attractions to little girls like that, is a perversion, is indeed – actually, it's a crime. And this – I mean, even prisoners know this. I mean, if you're a pedophile and in prison, you occupy the worst place in the prison because everybody wants to beat your butt and sodomize you. Now, that's not because I know personally. It's because my son worked in a prison for a number of years, just, oh, by the way, and that's what they want to do to the pedophiles there. Who is this, George? Yeah. You just come in here, just waltz on in here and say, I want to – go ahead, my friend. Go ahead. It's all right.
Just in the Middle East, because they are in the West doing the same thing.
And this was Connie's point when she first. I mean, this. I'm glad you brought that up, George. Thank you for that. Because this was her point the first time that she says that it's the first time that she said on the show Islam is murder. This is what she was talking about. She wasn't talking about Muslims strapping bombs to themselves and walking into a crowd and killing 152 people and 13 Marines. She wasn't talking about that. What she was talking about, because the topic was the age of Aisha and how Muslims use that age as a pattern of conduct for all time to follow, and this is what happens to little girls. This is what happens to girls. When Muhammad did it, it must mean that it's okay for everybody else to do it. And then when you get this, when she was 4 years old, my God, I just can't. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to say something that, you know, we did not bring this up today, but I just wanted to, I have a friend, when he was a young boy, he went to get the hunt, you know, where he goes to Mecca and walk around the rocks and stuff.
Right. And it's purely monotheistic and no paganism there, of course. Go ahead.
No, this is the monotheistic version.
Right.
No, this
I've heard something of something, right? I've heard something about that where, well, I haven't heard about the boys. That's the first I've heard about the boys. But what I have heard something of. Well, I've heard stories about how women, how necessary it is for women to stay very close to their husbands or their close male relatives, because they'll be assaulted too, sexually assaulted too, while they're there. That's, I mean, okay, Adam, you wanted to say something, and I want to give you time because we're out of time, but that's okay. We're still gonna go. I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not doing 3 hours. I'm just done.
I will do only 4. Well, do you know how many Deobandi people are there in southeastern part of the world? Almost 80%.
Echo.
What can you get? Echoing sound.
Okay, something is happening. There's so much echo.
I don't hear an echo.
Okay.
You said, the question was something about the Deobandi. Say the question again, Adam, and I'll repeat it.
Emmanuel, because you are from the South India as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, everyone please mute. Emmanuel, please mute before talking, because I think echo is coming from somewhere. I don't know where.
All right, hold on. Let me go across the board. I'm gonna echo. I'm gonna mute myself. Go ahead.
All right. So Emmanuel, because he's also from Southeast, so he knows exactly what I'm talking about. And Deobandis actually holds approximately 80% of Southeastern people. Correct, Emmanuel?
I'm sorry. I keep hearing double.
Yeah, see if you can mute yourself.
That's Emmanuel's side.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
See if you can mute yourself, Emmanuel.
Okay, I'm going to mute Emmanuel. Go ahead and repeat the question, Adam. Are you still echoing?
Sounds like it's on your end, Adam.
I'm going to get out and come back, I think. I think seems like it is my bad.
It's your side, it's not mine.
Okay, I'm getting out.
All right, I'll let you back in. Okay. It was something about people from the Southeast, and then you said the Deobandi. I'm not exactly sure I understood the question. I wasn't. All right. Well, he'll be right back in. Hold on. I got to sneeze. Hold on.
You know, Ron was saying that the veterans that are of Afghanistan, that they're also taking the little boys, too. It's not only that they're taking little girls.
Well, yeah, and I've had a lot of friends that were over there that have talked about the Bocce Boys and how they enjoy them, and it's just sick.
I mean,
and to think that these people are coming back into power too. As a matter of fact, guys, just so you know, Sunday's show we're going to do it's all going to be about 9/11. The 9/11 that was evidently an inside job. What was his words on that?
September is coming. Saturday is
9/11. Yeah, what was it?
Okay, Eric, I need you to read something. It is the 80% people, almost give or take, Asia, Pakistan, India, and even in UK, any like 50% of mosques comparatively are Baishti, Deobandi, and this book is in their mosque. So show it and read it. Read it from the point number one.
Okay, point number one, if a woman is under the age but not so small that if one has intercourse with her, there's a fear of the vaginal tissue tearing to such an extent that the vagina and anus will virtually come together, then by the insertion of the glands of the penis into her vagina gulls. What is that?
Whistle. Ritual bathing.
All right, will become farred on the man if he has reached the age of puberty. However, if there is the aforementioned fear in a very minor girl, then the mere insertion of the penis does not render galls obligatory. Gussel, whatever. Hustle? What?
It's like washing gussel.
God, sick is what it is.
Washing, specific washing to cleanse your body after performing this act where you are having intercourse with a very minor girl. Okay, now let's go to the second part. If you actually have it with a very minor girl, case number 3.
Okay, let me ask you. Okay, Adam, where do you get this? What is this?
I will show you. Read the part.
Part two. If a man has intercourse with any underage woman, hustle. Okay. The cleansing will not become farred on condition that semen does not come out and that the woman is so young that one fears that by having intercourse with her, her private parts will become connected.
Now, this is 40. Read.
If a person wraps his penis with a cloth and has intercourse, then the... What? 40. Okay. On account of her being underage, her front and back private parts are very close by, and it will be difficult to differentiate. Good Lord, between the two. Are you kidding me?
Read it, differentiate between
the two. On account of her being underage, her front and back private parts are very close by, and it will be difficult to differentiate between the two. What is this crap?
This is under 6 age. This is the Zaber. This is written by a very, very, very great scholar, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi. Heavenly ornament. There is hardly any Muslim family who will not give this book to their.
What does that say? A classic manual of Islamic sacred law. So this is Sharia.
Yeah.
This is fiqh, not Sharia. It's fiqh.
Fick.
There is no punishment described in it. It's all about how you perform certain acts. This is fiqh, the book of fiqh.
And what does fiqh mean again?
Fiqh is how you live your life. Remember when David Wood was having a debate with Uthman ibn Subban Farooq, and he said even Tibri actually talks about this 929 about this Fact of Umar, and he said, I don't care what Ibn Kathir says, show me a book of fiqh. So this is a book of fiqh by Maulana Ashraf Ali. Yes, what you need to do, okay. How you need to live your life.
You know what it is? It's a book of sick is what it is. Not fiqh, sick.
You know, and Kenny being an imam, you would think that he would know these books like this and be going, man, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I don't think many people know
about this.
I didn't
man,
know about this.
Poor children.
We'll say that again, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, I can't hear Emmanuel. What was that?
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, I'm just saying, I don't think many American Muslims, even Kenny, maybe he might not know about this book. I didn't know about this book at all. I mean, I know they marry underage. But maybe back home they knew about it. Maybe that's my dad didn't tell me about it, which is why the big perversion actually seen over there. Even in the madrasa, when I was in Bangladesh for a year, I mean, that's all these students talk about, you know, just what they want to do, you know, with, if they ever want to come to the West. You know, you hear all kinds of just sickness in there. And this is what my mom wanted me to learn down there. They think they're so holy down there.
These what do you mean, what did they wanted, what they wanted to do? What did they want to do when they came to America?
You know, just with the American women, and that's all they talk about all day.
Like have sex with them?
Yeah.
So they want to have sex, but then where they're living, they're not having sex?
Pretty much not, because of the rules. They think the rules, this is Islamic law, like they think their rules are separate. They compare coming to the West, you know. They think they
okay, so it's not changing their heart. It's just that they're just living
okay, now you
here.
Said...
Yeah.
You said that who didn't know about this book, you said... Emmanuel?
I didn't know about this book.
You did? Oh, you didn't know about him. Right. Okay. Well, I mean, if he was an imam, should he have known about this book? If you were an imam, would you know about this book? If you were an imam.
You should definitely know about this book.
There you go.
Ashraf Ali Thanvi is a known person. He should either condemn this guy every other day and say this is the most stupid idiot, foul mouth, whatever. Or he should agree with him. He's
okay.
Not a baby guy.
Okay, what about...
Nobody knows. You go to Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka, Maldives, and all of these areas, the South Indian area, South Asian area, it is impossible, almost, near to impossible, that somebody would not know who Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi is. Impossible, almost.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If you were an imam, would you have at least read Reliance of the Traveler?
Absolutely, I have to. This is the Sharia. The best Sharia manual in the world. Right.
Okay,
now.
So if you are an imam and you have not read Reliance of the Traveler. Okay, so we have, well, I'm just, the reason why I ask this is because we have Kenny on video saying that he never has read Reliance of the Traveler.
Well, What kind of an imam is he?
Well, this he's a self-proclaimed one that wants to have a shura council for somebody who evidently says that his wife's house didn't burn down or something like that. I don't know. The whole thing is just sick. And we're not going to be able to get to the rest of these, but there was a couple other ones that I wanted to touch on that were in this video. He said, okay, and we're going to address this on Sunday. As a matter of fact, I have the timestamps here where he said that 9/11 was a controlled demolition where you have boom, 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 you know. And you know, this is, you know, I've heard this argument before. I've heard it several times, as a matter of fact. And somebody that works in the field that he does, as far as being a pipe inspector, knows how when you apply heat to metal, you don't have to melt metal, because they were saying, well, JP5, which burns very hot, is jet fuel, burns very hot.
I work with those.
Could not melt that metal in the World Trade Center, and that's true. But you don't have to melt it. All you have to do is just compromise its tensile strength to where it's not as rigid. You take out some of that rigidity out of it, and then that's what you're going to get, where the weight above it – right, exactly. The weight above it can't support it. It's going to come down. And that – and there's something that we have on this planet. I don't know if you know what it's called, but when I let go of this pin, watch this. Oh, it's called gravity. So when gravity pulls these things down, it's coming – not only the weight is not going to be able to be supported, but it's not going to be able to support that impact all the way down. So, you know, when he makes – This is how desperate people like this are. They will grab on to anything and try to embrace it, even though they know common sense would teach them that there's no way that can be true. I mean, there's just too much evidence against it. So we're going to discuss that. Oh, definitely.
You have the explosions on the sides of the walls that you can see from the outside. You know, you would be able to see that.
Well, stop making sense. No. Okay, you can't make sense and believe in this theory, so you just need to stop it. You need to check that brain at the door. Okay, he also said...
My father gave me a brain, so that's it.
Okay, so I can't understand what that was. And then he claimed that you something about murder and... you know what? We'll clean this mess up next week. We're leaving off. Where did we leave off today? That's Rad's video. And Rad's probably – okay, Rad, if you're listening to the video, you need to get some comms, dude. I see that you're still in the chat here, but we need to fix this. I got to sneeze. I thought I had to sneeze. I hate that.
You're showing everyone a finger.
Sorry. Okay, I thought I had to sneeze. But we're gonna there's no pervert but the pervert and the or the pedophile. Yeah. You don't ask me to try doing that.
Well, if you're going to have sex with a 9-year-old, it's called a pervert.
Well,
I can assure you can do it, but much younger.
Yeah, and you know, Adam, that a lot of these things, you know, a lot of these things that Adam brings on here, and you know, how you find these things, Adam, when you bring these videos where these people come on here, like the, I think it was you that played the one with the Ayatollah.
What is Hussein doing?
I don't know.
Hussein, please mute yourself, brother.
Steve is, I don't know, it might be that watermelon screaming for help.
Emmanuel.
Oh, Emmanuel, is it Emmanuel? No, what, Steve?
Everybody loves to blame Emmanuel.
Steve, all right, guys, I'm going to call it a night. thank you.
Do you know the guy who actually says, I'll be watching? What's the name of that guy?
I'll be watching.
Ali Dawa.
Yeah. So he actually had some clips where he is referring to Ibn Fubn Farooq and saying, why the hell are you calling that Aisha was 99? You want to watch it?
Say that again. What is it? Say that again.
Why are you saying Aisha was not 9?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead and play that.
It's a short video, I think 3 or 4 minutes. I think you guys will enjoy it. There you go.
Okay, well, okay, Adam, I'm going to tell you, we can't go over the two-hour limit because I get booted. I get booted off of BTR, and then I get emails. All right.
So the question is a very common one, and that is that many people, non-Muslims, and sometimes even Muslims, are perturbed that how come Aisha, our mother, was married at a very young age. That is possible that she was older. It is also possible that she was 6 at the time of engagement or 7.
You find people, you find some so-called scholars.
I graduated from the Islamic University of Islamabad, was a master of Persians in Hadith.
So-called scholars making these estimates based on some other evidence. It's like, for example, Aisha, in one narration, she says, I was engaged at the age of 6. In another narration, she says, I was engaged at the age of 7.
Sometimes she said 6, sometimes she said 7.
That shows there's a difference of opinion, and therefore, we cannot trust anything.
But did she actually know her age or not? Allah knows best.
So that's what they say. That's what they do. Subhanallah. And they bring the weakest of evidences to prove to prove that she was 18. So for example, they say that Asma bint Abu Bakr was 10 years older than Aisha.
Asma, the older sister of Aisha, she was 10 years older than Aisha.
Okay, and that she was 100 years old. She passed away in the year 73 after Hijrah.
At the time of death, she was 100 years of age.
Prove that Asma was 100 years old. Can you find Asma saying, I was 100 years old in this year, which I'm about to die in? You can't find something like that. It's based on a historian's logical guess, I guess. And this is put ahead of Aisha saying I was 9 in multiple sources, according to multiple eyewitnesses. SubhanAllah. Yes.
That even in the Hadith of Tabari, they were not able to produce exact ages of when Aisha was born. Now it's very important to understand why. The Arab had no calendar. Even today, even though we have calendars today, in every country has a calendar. And there's no country now that doesn't have a calendar. But even today, those of you born in other countries, if you ask your grandmother, how old are you? She'll tell you, I don't really know.
She couldn't. So the question was, they didn't have proper years or ways of counting the years.
The Arab had no calendar.
Well, first of all, they did. They could count the years, and there is a lot of documentation of years at the time. So first of all, that's not factual. Would Aisha make a 9-year mistake?
Confusion.
You know, so that's just that. You know, that's the answer to that. Would she make a 9-year mistake? She didn't know what her age was. And by the way, that's not the opinion. That is not the opinion of people who disagree with us. They don't say that Aisha did not know her age. They don't say that.
So she might not have known her own age.
They say that, you know, the narrators made mistakes.
There is no weak narrator. There is no... in the wording, there's no grammatical errors, there's no iqlab in it. We did a hadith of Sahih. Aisha radiyallahu anha said this, no doubt. But did she actually know her age or not? Allah knows this. I'm not saying this to apologize for anything.
Confusion.
All Muslims. Don't apologize for the truth and don't distort the truth. There are Muslims that try to deny this. Oh, he didn't marry Aisha as a young girl. Yahi, look, that's not the way forward. We don't lie for the sake of our religion, astaghfirullah. We're not going to cover up the truth if people find it embarrassing. This is the reality. Deal with it.
To be honest, mutawatir. To be honest, it's mutawatir evidence. First thing, I was 9 years old.
Our Prophet has married a young girl.
And we're proud of it.
And we're proud of that.
And Rad posted something in the chat, and this is something that I had written down. You know, the fact is that there are events in your life that you remember. how old you were, regardless of how old you were. And when Aisha, you know, I'll take Aisha's word over Kenny's any day of the week, even though I don't believe a word she says about this in the Hadith, because I don't believe the Hadith. But then again, I don't believe a word that comes out of his pie hole either. Okay, we are wrapping it up. We only got a couple minutes before Blog Talk Radio shuts us down. So everybody that came tonight in the chat, I really appreciate you coming in and contributing there. I've been trying to follow that as much as I possibly can. Everybody that's been on the panel tonight, thank you so much for coming. You are always welcome to come. And if I don't send you, a link for the 2 o'clock show on Sundays or the 5 o'clock show on Tuesdays, send me a Skype message. I believe everybody that's here in the panel we're in the Skype group, or Facebook. Send me an instant message on Facebook, and I'll get you the link. So I appreciate you coming and contributing tonight. All right, God bless you. We will see you all this Sunday, and it's going to be all about 9/11. God bless. We'll talk to you then.
Oh boy.
Yeah, Kufar Akbar. All right, we'll see y'all. Okay, I just ended the show. Thank you for coming. I appreciate that. Let me go over here to. Hold on, Adam. Hold on. Let me close out here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, friends. We will see you next Sunday on the Cross and Crescent Discussion Group. God bless.